Welcome to the Swim Swam Podcast. I'm today's host, Coleman Hodges, and joining us today, we have 25-time NC2A All-American, 22-time Big Ten champion, and 3-time NCAA champion, Brendan Burns of Indiana. Brendan, thanks for joining us. How's it going, man?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
This episode of the Swim Swam Podcast is sponsored by Commit Swimming, Swim Swam's exclusive team management software partner. Since 2015, Commit has been providing coaches with swimming's leading workout management software. And now, Commit has team management software too. Commit wants to help you make the switch from Team Unify to a simpler, more powerful solution. Their onboarding and customer service team will walk you through every step of the way. Check them out at commitswimming.com to book your demo today. That's C-O-M-M-I-T swimming.com. Congrats on a great NCAAs and a great fifth year overall at Indiana. It was pretty electrifying to see the way you handled this last NCAAs, from winning the 100 back to taking on the 2-back, 2-fly double on the last day of competition. Just overall, what were your thoughts on those NC2A championships, especially knowing that that was absolutely going to be your last one?
Yeah, thank you for the kind words. I'm really proud of just the way that our team performed. You know, obviously it was a close battle with Florida after that relay DQ, unfortunately. Unfortunately for them, it didn't affect their placement in the standings, but, you know, that we kind of had that opportunity to get third place. And I think we really just kind of gave it everything that we had. I'm really proud of that. And then individually, you know, I learned last year the hard way that being a repeat NCAA champion is really not easy at all. And I think I kind of shifted my focus this year, and I was glad that I was able to repeat in the 100 backstroke. Doing the dirty double was super challenging, super, super difficult. I think everyone kind of saw that 2-fly and how that ended up, but it's okay. I mean, just making both A finals, and then that was actually my first NCAAs where I made 3 A finals individually. So I was really happy that I was able to accomplished that in my last year, and I was just glad to put a lot of points on the board for the team and just play a role.
Yeah, so a lot to dive into there. Tell me about the burden of trying to repeat an NCAA champion title, how did you shift your focus going into this year as the defending champion in the 100 backstroke?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone that's won will tell you that it's super difficult to get back up there the next year and try and win. You know, every year someone's going to have kind of their path of glory. They're going to have the fire just underneath them that maybe you might have, or, you know, if one thing about NCAAs I've learned, you know, after doing 4 of them is that if you're not on your A game, somebody else is, and they're going to beat you. And that's a little like harsh, I think, but it's definitely something that I believe is very true. And I think this year, what I changed from last year was that I was just a lot more process oriented this year. I was a lot more, the way I would talk about the 100 back with my coaches or with my teammates was like, yeah, I just want to improve upon my best time. I want to just put points on the board versus, oh my God, you know, when I was trying to repeat the 200 fly title last year, it was like, oh my God, I need to win. I need to do this, I need to do that. And I think that kind of weighed me down. So just that slight little shift of how I kind of talked about my goals, I think really helped this year.
Yeah. And then let's just go there to the race, to that 100 back final. You're swimming out of lane 1. Do you feel like that helped you at all, or helped your perspective heading into the final, kind of knowing you didn't have a lot to lose?
I don't know if I can definitively say if it helped me. I think there's good and bad with, you know, being in the middle of the pool versus kind of being out there on an island in lane 1. I think you just kind of have to accept it the way that it happened. In the morning, my prelim swim was really bad. I think I was just trying to force it too much. And then, but, you know, thankfully I made it into the A final. I said at NCAAs, you know, you have a lane, you have a chance. And I definitely that's all I could rely on. You know, I was out there in lane 1. I probably wasn't going to see the guys that were going to be on the podium up there with me, the second and third place guys. So I just had to focus on my own race strategy, and I think that's what I did. And the reaction afterwards, I'll put it on the record now. I think after watching it, I'll say it's obnoxious. I think it's a little obnoxious, but I have no regrets. It was just pure emotional outlet. I think, having everyone that we had there was so amazing. It just meant so much. I really wish I could go up and thank them, for how they kind of impacted the atmosphere of the meet. And I'm just really glad that I was able to get my hand on the wall first.
For me, there's a lot of records at that meet. There was a lot of historic swims. That was the most memorable moment of the meet.
Thank you.
So I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was definitely cool to see. It's cool to see anyone celebrate an accomplishment like that, and especially in what is nearly a home meet for you all. I mean, did you feel that energy throughout the weekend, knowing that you guys had a huge section of fans in the stands? This is essentially a home pool for you. It's an hour away from Bloomington. Did that impact your week at all?
We definitely did. I mean, it was so amazing to have, not just our teammates there, not just our parents there. We have such a great parents group. They travel here, there, and everywhere trying to support us. But to have that main group of people and then some was just absolutely indescribable. It was just, it's such a, you talk about like the teams that were big players, the NCAAs, and Cal is pretty famous for their alumni support group. And then to have that, pretty similar experience in our home state was just absolutely incredible. And I think it's a building block going forward of kind of how we're going to represent ourselves and at NCAAs. And now that I'm on the other side, I definitely am making plans to attend NCAAs, cheer my heart out. It's going to be a very weird experience, I think, in a federal way next year. But it'll be, totally incredible, and I'm really looking forward to it. I want to contribute to, the feeling that they gave us throughout the course of this year's NCAAs. I want to be a part of that moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know from personal experience, my brother is a Cal alumni, and so to have interactions with some of those guys, and then, it's cool to see other teams kind of following that lead. Because I think it makes it a much more exciting environment as a whole, to see ASU's fans, come out this year, to see Indiana's fans, just the huge block. And then, mm-hmm. as you alluded to at the end of the meet, to have them, cheering certain things, rooting for the outcomes in which Indiana's going to go ahead of Florida, which I think, it was really a great environment.
Cheering for Arizona. We were right next to Arizona State on deck, and then we were cheering for their relay at the end there over Florida. Okay. It was just fun. That's a very unique situation, I think, in swimming. NCAAs is a very unique meet where you're not really cheering for yourself, your country. It's literally all about the team, and it's one of the only meets in the world where you get to do that. It's something that's just been really special for the past 4 years, and there were a lot of moments like that this year, like cheering for the Arizona State relay. That was just like, wow, this sport is really cool sometimes.
Agreed. Yeah, that was a very unique moment, and one that stood out to me from that meet, certainly. It's obviously a lot of people have taken advantage of these COVID fifth years, you yourself being one of them this year. Can you tell me just about the year as a whole, and how maybe it felt different from your senior year, where that's kind of traditionally supposed to be your last hurrah or your last go at it. And then again, so many people have these fifth year opportunities. What was your experience like? Did it feel like a senior year part two, or did it feel like a completely different experience from that?
This year was definitely the most unique feeling year that I've had thus far. I would definitely say that this year felt like more of a senior year than last year, because I had known I've been doing a fifth year for years. Like literally as soon as they announced it, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably gonna do that. Just because, I mean, that's really kind of our team culture. I was so blessed and fortunate to have 3 years here where Other than this year, we had so many fifth years on the guy side and the girl side. I think we're really one of the only schools where we had a lot of fifth years, that people that chose to do a fifth year. And then also no one's left. All of us have stayed at Indiana to do a fifth year because we love this place so much. We love this team. We want to see this team succeed. And, you know, that having that precedent for me was really just, it was such a cool feeling to have. And it definitely set me up well for this year. I'd say personally this year, it's been challenging. This year has been great. Like there've been so many fantastic memories from this year, but personally for me, like kind of reckoning with my career in the sport and, you know, the ISL is really not coming back at all. And that's something that I probably would have pursued if it was still going to be a thing, but without that kind of avenue for me to be a professional swimmer, I really don't see a huge future swimming in the sport. I definitely see myself being involved in the sport in some way, shape or form, but it's having the people before me kind of guiding me and saying there is, you know, that there is greener grass on the other side of being done with your career. That's really helped me kind of get through this year and really enjoy all the moments that I have left with my teammates, because it's coming to a close very quickly. But I'm really just trying to put a premium on enjoying the fantastic journey that I've been on and enjoying, you know, the day-to-day process and competing and just everything, really just enjoying the entire student athlete experience.
Yeah. I'm also very sad that the ISL isn't around anymore. Yeah,
it's brutal. I went to the very first ISL match my freshman year of college in Indianapolis. And I really had like a huge, oh my God, this is what I want to do moment. And then unfortunately just out of the control of all this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also at that meet, in Indy. It was a super, super cool, super unique meet environment, right? Yeah. It's like nothing we had seen before. And anyway, yeah. So do you think, you know, sticking around for a couple more months and training for the World Cups is something you would consider or pursue?
It's something I would consider if USA Swimming had a more concrete kind of structure or like safety net to kind of support its athletes that aren't, you know, exclusively like long course focused. And I totally understand putting the priority on the long course swimmers first. That's where it should be. That's where all the big meets are. But I think the ISL showed that there is an increasing group of swimmers in this sport that are we're not going to be the top guys winning medals at the Olympics and long course world championships and stuff, but we're still a part of the sport. We're a part of the stories of the sport. You know, college swimming is very exciting, very tangible, like aspect of the sport that a lot of people follow and really care about. And I think the ISL was kind of heading in that direction. And in relation to the World Cups and like, there's a short course world championships this year. If USA Swimming had a selection process that was a little more straightforward, or just like hey, you are clearly a very talented short course swimmer and you can swim a variety of events, like we'll help you out just a little bit. I think I would go for the World Cups and for short course worlds, but that's not currently in place. So I just don't really see a future where that's kind of, I just don't see that in my future.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, money's real, right?
It is very real. Yeah, unfortunately. I've talked about it with my coaches, my parents, and they've been nothing but supportive. And unfortunately, it's just kind of the world that we live in.
Yeah. No, that's – and I mean, a lot of athletes have voiced similar complaints, and I certainly wish USA Swimming, would put a little more stock into short course swimming, especially, just in the 4 months of fall and the start of winter when – there is this international short course season that is very interesting and fun and international, right? That you get to compete against the world's, a lot of the world's best.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, I wouldn't even be kind of at the top of the list of the people that would seriously benefit from something like that. I think the most famous example is the Coleman Stewart world record in the 100 back, and he wasn't at short course worlds that year. I think that was definitely a little bit of a misfire. I definitely had a lot of sympathy for that. I think Beata Nelson is another example. I think she won the the World Cup overall title, and then she was left off the short course World Championships roster. It's just kind of a frustrating, I don't know, a frustrating process, I'm sure, for those that have come before me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. I sympathize. I wish things were different. So maybe one day.
Maybe one day. But,
going back to short course yard swimming, I do just want to touch on your NC2As and that two fly two back double. We talked about this a little bit at NC2As, but I just kind of want to rehash this. You know, you've swum this double, or you swum these two events at Big Tens in the past. You've done the double in the past at Big Tens, but never at NC2As. What can you tell me about what motivated you to pursue this double at NC2As, knowing that, you know, it's a 4-day meet. It's probably a very different meet than Big Tens.
Yeah.
Tell me about your process with that.
It was I kind of talked about the process oriented stuff earlier. And for this, you know, for doing the double at NCAAs, I can best describe it as leaving no stone unturned during this fifth year. I sat down with my coaches at the beginning of the year, sat down with Ray, Corey, Luke, John. And I just said this year, you know, it's just kind of fallen into my lap with the way things have worked out my college career with COVID and everything. And I've kind of done the same thing at NCAAs for 3 years. I did the hundreds double to some success. You know, I didn't final in the 100 fly, which was a goal of mine for a couple of years. But after last year and just like narrowly missing out on prelims again, I was like, and also, you know, not repeating a title in the 200 fly, I just really like looked myself in the mirror and said, I really have nothing to lose. I'm going to do this. And it's something that I know I'm capable of. I've proven it at Big Tens. I've proven it at dual meets, midseason, whatever it is. It's something I know I can do. And it's something that I know is going to like carve a little niche into the sport for me. You know, there aren't many people. I think there are a lot of guys in the NCAA that actually could pull off that double, but I think it's just kind of taking the leap of faith, having a head coach like Ray Luz telling you, you will do this, you can do this. And he was right. I initially didn't want to do it at Big Tens the first time I did it, but he kind of persuaded me strongly to do it, and it worked out in my favor. And I'm grateful for that. I really am. And this year I was like, yeah, I really, like I said, I had nothing to lose. And I just wanted to prove to myself, just put some, bet on yourself and just believe.
Yeah. And I mean, just tell me about how you felt like it went. And again, especially because you've done this double before, like you said, you've done it in dual meets, but I'm guessing, you know, day four of NC2As maybe feels a little different than some of those other situations.
It definitely feels different. I honestly wouldn't say it felt, other than the 200 fly at night, that was pretty terrible, but everything else, it was really right within my wheelhouse of stuff that I had done at dual meets, everything I've done at Big Tens. The way I kind of compartmentalize, you know, staring at 4 200s on the last day of a meet is like, okay, prelims is one dual meet, and then, you know, finals will be another dual meet, and take it one swim at a time, get plenty of warm down in. And honestly, I mean, I'm used to swimming. I do both 200s at dual meets all the time, and then I would have another swim in there, honestly. So this is a little bit of a step down from what I'm used to in terms of, you know, I mean, dual meets, we're not a team that swims very, some of these teams swim crazy fast at dual meets. We're definitely not one of those teams. We definitely kind of put ourselves in the hole in January, and then we come back to life once championship season starts. So I've definitely felt a lot worse, and I've done the double pretty successfully. So it was just, I just knew I could do it with the training and the preparation that I've had.
Yeah. At finals, can you take me through the 200 back and the 200 fly and what your goal was for those, and then how you feel like you were able to execute each of those races?
Yeah, the finals 200 backstroke, I really for both finals, I was seated pretty low, so I just wanted to move up. Unfortunately, it didn't happen in the two back. It was a really great field. I kind of treated prelims like finals, honestly. I was like, okay, I just need to make the A final. And then whatever happens at night can happen, and I'll be happy with that. And that's definitely how I felt. It was definitely that final session was probably one of the most unique feelings I've had, where I was just very at peace. I'm like, yeah, I did it. And I'm going to really enjoy the last session I have as an Indiana Hoosier, wearing these candy stripes and with everyone in the stands. You know, my entire family was there. Seeing everyone there made me really emotional. And it was just a very strange feeling, where sometimes I kind of like black out and I don't really remember my races and stuff, but I've just really felt like I was completely in the moment for both the 200 back and the 200 fly. I think more so the 200 fly, because I was like just staring at a pretty inevitable outcome, but it was just, I really enjoyed it. I really just, the culmination of 5 years as a college athlete, and to end it the way that it did, I really have no regrets. And it was just such an incredible experience, and I have so many people to thank for it.
Yeah. I mean, not many people get to say, I swam 4 200s in my last day of college swimming and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know, call me crazy, I don't know, but it was really just a full circle moment. Especially, we were supposed to have NCAAs in Indianapolis my freshman year. They got canceled because it was March of 2020. And then, you know, just to find out, I forget when in my college career, that NCAA is going to be back in Indianapolis this year, I was like, okay, that's going to be, I just know it's going to be a special meet. I just knew that it was going to be just completely incredible. Just have a great time with my teammates. You know, I know that we'd probably get a big turnout because it's in our backyard. And I just knew that it was going to be a great time.
Yeah. So you're from Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia. Yeah.
Philadelphia. So you're from Philly. You know, just thinking back on your college career now, what spoke to you about Indiana and what made you ultimately want to become a Hoosier? And then once you got there, what made you like the team culture and what it had to offer so much?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, wow, I can't believe my first visit to IU was 6 years ago this month. So it's pretty insane how time flies. But I visited here in April of my junior year in high school, and everyone talks about getting the feeling at a certain school or a certain place. And that was definitely what I got here. I think it was more so, obviously the swimming was great. You know, at that point they had just come off getting third place at NCAAs for the first time in a million years. It was that really exciting run where we led until the final day of competition, and then Cal and Texas passed us. But I liked the direction of the team, where that was going. But more importantly, I just love the town of Bloomington. You've been here before. You know, you kind of know what the vibes are like here. It's a very unique place to go to school. It's such an amazing college town. A lot of, like, I knew I wanted the kind of Big Ten aura of like rah-rah big school spirit. And I found that here and then some. And then I knew it was just going to be a special place filled with special people. And it's definitely been that. It definitely hasn't been the journey that I thought it would be. I don't think anyone could have predicted a global pandemic in the middle of your college experience. But I definitely feel that it really prepared me. The pandemic and then really just the college experience has prepared me well for whatever chapter may be. And I'm just really grateful that really grateful that I've been here for 5 years.
Yeah. I'm curious about even a little further back, and just your roots in swimming and how you got started in swimming. Are your parents are connected to swimming? Is that correct?
My parents met through Masters Swimming in Connecticut at the Westport Weston YMCA. And then my dad was a Division II swimmer at Southern Connecticut State University, otherwise known as the other college in New Haven, Connecticut. He lovingly refers to it. And then my mom was a Division I swimmer at Miami of Ohio. And I think she was also the backstroker. So she's really happy that I won two backstroke titles instead of two butterfly titles. So she gets to claim that. And I think she's also the one where, you know, she grew up on the East Coast mostly, and then she came to college in the Midwest, and she had a, you know, phenomenal experience at Miami of Ohio. And she, you know, I see it in her. And then she also tells me, like, you know, this feels like Miami, or like, you know, there's something special about going to college. at one of these awesome, really old, big schools in the Midwest. And I definitely feel like that's rubbed off on me. And now my sister is at Penn State and she's loving it there. Even though Penn State's on the East Coast, it kind of feels like a Midwest school up there. And it's just been, our entire family we're all swimmers, but I really feel like we kind of have a healthy approach to it. We just all kind of love the sport and we love the places it's taken us, the people it's allowed us to meet. And we all kind of have our own unique journeys in the sport, but it's all been just absolutely incredible. So, and now I get to finally go cheer for my sister at Penn State meets. I've been a bad brother for the first 2 years. I've been dealing with my own BS here. And now I get to go cheer her on. I'm really excited to do that.
That is very exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you play other sports growing up?
I played baseball for several years growing up. I love baseball. Golfed a little bit. But with baseball, that was the one I took a little bit more seriously. I just didn't really like I loved playing baseball, but I didn't really like the politics and like the subjectivity of it. You know, something is a very objective. You gotta hit the time, otherwise you're not that good of a swimmer. It's just that kind of sport. Whereas baseball, it was a lot of like coach's son politics, which I just didn't really enjoy. So I switched to swimming Wow. I stopped playing baseball 10 years ago and then it's been just swimming ever since.
Wow. Was that a pretty natural transition for you? Do you feel like swimming came easily for you, or did you like a certain aspect about swimming aside from that objectivity?
Yeah, I would definitely say that the objectivity of swimming, I really just enjoyed the hyper competitiveness, the always racing all the time. With baseball, it's a little less intense, I think I might say. I love baseball, but it just swimming kind of really always spoke to me. Just kind of the culture of swimming, and then also it helped having parents who were, you know, they're swim parents, but they're really good swim parents. And they understand that a lot of people get ruined in this sport because of their parents. And they wanted to try avoiding that. And I think, you know, the only thing they've done for me is support me endlessly and give their love of the sport to me. And I'm really grateful for that.
They sound like good swim parents. Swim parents, if you're listening to this, take note. Endless support. Don't burn your kids out.
Yeah.
So just, I guess, flash forward to today then, where do you feel like you're at with swimming and with life? You know, are you graduating soon?
Sorry, what's up?
Are you graduating soon?
I'm graduating. Yes. A couple weeks. We're about two and a half weeks away from graduation. So we'll be doing that. And then I'm looking for jobs right now, kind of in the sports realm. I definitely consider myself to be a people person. I love just meeting new people, you know, using my communication skills effectively. So I'm looking for things in that realm that'll suit me well. I'm getting a degree in management, so something in the business side of sports, or, you know, really wherever life takes me. I'm really at peace with like the next chapter. You know, if I looked myself in the mirror and I really asked myself, do I want to be professional? Do I want to focus on long course? And I just see so many times that people, they go professional in the sport and it's not exactly what they thought it would be. And not that they have any regrets or anything, but I just kind of looked myself in the mirror and I'm like, would I be okay living the pro lifestyle where you're on your own? It's a little bit lonely. I've had this 5 years of, you know, collegiate competitive experience, which has been totally awesome and totally what I'm about. And then now I would be a pro, I'd kind of be on my own. And I just didn't know if I really wanted that loneliness in my life. I love being a part of a team and I love just, yeah, creating something together. And I don't really know if I don't know if I would find that in my professional career. So that's kind of why I made the decision to eventually, you know, I'll step away after trials.
Yeah. What's it like now with just trials in your sights, especially knowing, you know, once again, it's in Indianapolis at a football stadium. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm really excited. I think it's going to be, you know, hopefully the the ticket numbers will improve a little bit by the time we get to Indianapolis. But I think it's, no matter what, it's going to be just such an incredible experience. And I remember, you know, my first Olympic trials was the last one in 2021. And I remember walking away from that meet. I didn't really swim the way I wanted to, but regardless, I remember walking away just thinking like, yeah, this isn't just a swim meet. It's an experience and you should enjoy it. And that's definitely the approach I have this time, you know, win, lose or draw. I'm really going to enjoy the time that I have there, you know, I think it's the ultimate send off party for a lot of people. I think they've kind of been waiting for this moment for a while. The COVID Olympic trials was very cool. It was a very good show, especially given the circumstances that it was put on underneath. I think they did a phenomenal job just trying to get out of that COVID world and try and move us forward. But this one, you know, we're basically back to normal. I think it's going to be just a really cool celebration of swimming and of a lot of people's careers. I think a lot of people are wrapping up here, and it'll be unpredictable, dramatic, high flying. It'll be all the above and then some, and it'll be great.
What events you got on the slate for Indy?
As of right now, I'll be doing 200 free, 200 back, 100 fly, then looking to get my 100 freestyle cut. So I've had the cut before, but I don't have it in the qualifying period. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice. And what meets do you have left before that, if any?
We have a local meet in May, the Indy Spring Cup. Usually a couple college teams will pull through to that. I have that last meet at the Nat in Indianapolis, and then we'll be back like a month later for trials. So
nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Brendan, once again, congrats on a great collegiate career.
Thank you.
Thanks again for taking the time to sit down and chat. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And good luck moving forward into trials.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam Podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam Podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.